Welcome, bienvenue, willkommen y bienvenidos a la tercera temporada de Párate y Destacate. Yo soy tu anfitriona, Nikki Green. Welcome back to season 3 of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your host, Nikki Green, and we are kicking off an amazing new season filled with some incredible guests. Stand Up and Stand Out is a podcast for those leaving university and heading into the work world. We help those in transition find their purpose so they can enjoy their career without sacrificing their lives. Following nearly 2 decades working in Fortune 500 companies, I want to share my leadership learnings with all of you. Thought leaders are needed in all walks of life, not just business. And we're in a critical time to pivot ourselves and the community around us to build a better future together. This show is the start of your beyond college journey to help you answer the question, I graduated, now what? Let's get ready to listen in to the next episode. Well, welcome everyone to Stand Up and Stand Out Season 3. We have the incredible Corey Vanderpool with us today. A little bit about Corey. Corey Vanderpool is a solar expert, real estate advisor, author, entrepreneur, speaker, and NAB CEP certified solar contractor. He is the founder and CEO of Spark and CR Power. He has over a decade of experience in solar and real estate. He is the author of the ebook, Escaping Solar Leases, and is currently in the process of publishing his new book, The True Value of Solar. Corey also hosts the podcast, Solar Broadcast, and he lives in Gilbert, Arizona with his wife and 3 kids. Thanks, Corey, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Corey and I met through our equal membership in Book Launchers to try to get our books out the door. We're having fun with that process as we speak. But Corey was so fascinating and had such a great story to tell. I thought I would bring him on and have him share some of it with you. So Corey, everyone has an origin story. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yours? And are you the superhero or are you the villain in this one?
You know, that is a really good question because I think almost no one sees themselves as the villain. But that was actually part of my origin story, realizing like I was the villain at some point. Like I was the cause of problems. That kind of led me to where I'm at today. But I grew up here in Arizona. I come from a really big family, like number nine of 11 kids. And like that kind of basically like I was grew up in a fairly affluent area, but was like had a poor family. And so I loved when I heard about what you're doing, Nikki, because it resonated so much to me. Like I've been working since I was 12 and, you know, I like added it up and I was like, oh man, I've started and been a part of like 12 different companies. I just turned 37 and worked for 6 different companies. And so I've got a pretty good range and like almost none of those are linear. They're like all over the place. But it's been like a really cool and fun journey and, you know, basically been all over from, you know, started out being like a yard boy and selling Cutco knives. And, you know, I was a plumber and, went on to get my real estate license, a general contractor's license, and, you know, then decided to go to air traffic control school and been all over the place. But actually, when I was going to school for air traffic control in my late mid-20s or whatever, basically, I was a month away from graduation, and then they shut down all hiring of air traffic controllers. So basically, I lost my job before I ever even graduate. Right.
That's pretty talented, actually, Corey. I'm not going to listen.
I've all managed to get hired. No, I didn't even bother with that part. I just got, you know, lost it right away. But what it did is it afforded me, it's really interesting because like one time, sometimes like a path shuts down and that's really like hard, but it really opened a door for me to go into what I love. Over here, my shoulder, I don't know if you get the visual on this, but it's a solar panel. So I think you mentioned I'm in solar and I love what I get to do in solar because it's one of those like products that like from the outside, I was like, oh, it's cool. It's green. That's very, you know, like in right now, but it is amazing. Like as far as the technology, the product, what it can do for people and stuff, absolutely incredible. So I've been doing that for about a decade now. And I'll tell you, like, as far as like being villain and hero, like I've always seen myself as a hero. I think we all do. Like I watch Superman. I love the like book series like Harry Potter, like all those. I'm like, I see myself in that hero role, right? But there was a time when I realized like in the solar industry that we probably actually weren't being the hero. I actually found myself being the villain because, like, we'd helped thousands of people go solar. And the problem was, you know, like, we've had all these people go solar, but there's really no backside support for the solar industry. Like for homeowners, after you go solar, basically you're kind of on your own. And the industry really has left a lot of homeowners right out on their own. They're kind of like, yeah, there's no really maintenance needed. So you're good. Just go. Right. But what happens when you sell your house? What happens when you need a refi? What happens when a transfer? You know, there's all these scenarios and situations where really, like, we had been promising people, right? Like, I personally have been promising thousands of people, like, hey, your house can be more valuable. This is going to have all this benefits, but not really following through on that promise. And I realized I'd, like, written checks with my mouth that I really couldn't cash. And so, like, that realization, like, made me realize, like, oh, this is not like the real estate agent's fault that are, like, telling people not to go solar because of those challenges. This is my fault, right? And that was, like, when I realized, like, Corey, you're actually the bad guy. And it was, like, sobering because I've always seen myself as not the bad guy. I'm like, I'm the guy who helps people. Like, my passion is I love helping people. And that sounds cliche, but I really do. Like, that brings me tremendous satisfaction and a lot of drive. But that realization really led me to where I'm at now. And where kind of turned a rock over thinking I was going to help solve a small problem. And it's actually grown into this, like, colossal thing where I've exposed, like, this void in the market where we get to now serve people in a way that they've never been served. It's kind of like in the auto industry, if there was never, like, a service center and you bought a car and basically you drive the car until it broke down and, like, well, just throw it away. You know, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, well, what if we just got auto mechanics and car tire companies and car washes and things, right? There's, like, a backside support to the auto industry, and there just isn't that with solar. And so we're creating that, and it's, like, turned into this large, like, we're creating a whole new sector to the industry that hasn't existed before. And so, like, that villainous moment, right, where I realized I was a bad guy, that was a big turning point for me. And that's where, you know, I connected with you, Nikki, is, like, going through that process and really going kind of through that the journey of discovery. Led me to where I'm at now, where we've founded this new company and Spark. That's the logo over our shoulder there. It's been really neat and being able to see that and be able to find a new way where we can help people and actually deliver on the promises that not only me, but the other, you know, thousands of solar people out there have been, you know, there's almost 3 million people that have solar on their houses in the United States. And you know, that means there's 3 million people that are going through this without a whole lot of support. Anyways, that's kind of a little bit about my background and but what's cool is I've done about a million things between, like, you know, where I first started mowing people's lawns until now. And so I have been that, you know, worker. Like, I'm kind of one of the younger millennials, right? And I know that your audience is probably a lot of them, but it's been neat to not only be that guy, but also now I've had, you know, a few different companies where I've got to employ a lot of folks who decided not to go to college, or also those who have graduated from college. And so I love what you're doing, because as I work with those, that group and those, like, group of guys and gals, like, they're an awesome group. But, like, again, I'm like one of those people, like, I feel like they need more support. So whatever you're doing, I was like, yes, I want to talk to your audience. They're awesome.
It's the same on both sides, right? And I think that's important throughout our careers, where we find those pivot points where, you know, you get into something because, in this case, right, you believe it's good for the environment and good for us from a power perspective, right? But then you find yourself caught into many of these business traps that happen to all of us, and you're just sort of following along. And all of a sudden you realize it doesn't match your own values, and you have to reset and repivot. Even when you're in the same job in the same industry, you may find yourself not quite matching up to how you want to feel about what you do every day at work, right?
Yeah. You worded it really well. I'm going to probably write that down. I'm like,
we'll send you the recordings.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's great. And I really love that you also help employ, you know, students, either whether they finish school or not, because right now I think there's going to be an incredible pivot in the way things work. Going to school for 4 years and, you know, being able to do the next job for 40 doesn't work that way anymore. Now we need to sort of try to do something else, and keep that kind of rotation going. And there's nothing like real experience, I'm sure, especially in your industry.
You know, it's like if you go on my LinkedIn profile, it shows my degree, you know, whatever. And it's like air traffic control, and that has nothing to do with what I'm doing, right? And I learned a lot of great things there. And that would have been a profession I would have loved to go into. I mean, I'm really glad I didn't now because I love what I do. And I feel like I've found a passion that I absolutely am crazy about. But it's crazy how life has changes. And, you know, like right now, I think the big trend we're seeing is like the gig economy is so prevalent, right? It's like, yeah, this is my thing. But then these are the other things that I do, right? And it's kind of like, we wear it as a badge of honor too. It's like, yeah, that's my thing. But these other things are also... I got a buddy who is an accountant, but he's like, where's the badge of honor that he, when he goes to lunch, he's running DoorDash to other people. He's like, wherever I go or wherever, when I go to lunch, I just turn on DoorDash and then that's where I go get my lunch. You know, and he's like, it's like the guy has a six-figure income, but he's like more excited that he gets to go earn, you know, whatever, like an extra $20 at lunch. You know, it's just funny.
Yeah. But it's fantastic, right? And I think this is the great thing about this new economy. And part of what you guys are doing as well is there's so many new jobs, new industries that are coming out that even if you went to school now, in 5 to 10 years from now, those jobs may or may not exist, or they may look totally different. Things like the pandemic have absolutely pivoted things into a whole new level that probably wouldn't have existed if people didn't have a bunch of time at home to sit around and play around and do stuff that they like doing that may have nothing to do with their career, right?
Right. Well, and so for me, like I've actually not been a huge proponent of the college route, even though like I did it. I come from an educated family. Like, I think that a lot of people get pushed into that college education that's probably not the right route for them. Like, I know a lot of tradesmen that are some of the more well-off people that I know. You know, it's like they started off as a tradesman, as a welder or a plumber or electrician or whatever. And then now all of a sudden they learn that trade and then they go open their own business and they're, you know, they're a very high income earner as a business owner. But like college wasn't that route and they had to kind of learn through that school of hard knocks. But so like I was actually not a huge proponent for school, but now, in the last couple of years, I've brought in and employed several college graduates. And it's interesting, as an employer, I have a far greater appreciation now for college graduates. So it's interesting, like how my mindset has shifted over the last year of like, there is something extremely valuable about someone who comes out of that college degree and they know marketing or they have a background in computer science. And like, it's like, I need you. Like, you are someone that I got to have. You know, and you're going to get that premium. And those are some of my higher paid employees are the ones that do have that degree. So, you know, it's like the world is not black and white. And I used to think that it's like, it's crazy how your opinions shift and things change. But there is no wrong route. That's what's so beautiful is we have such a diverse economy. It's just a matter of whether you're willing to put the effort in. Like, that's really all that matters, like, is effort. Like, you put the effort in. Whatever you're doing, there is tons of opportunity and possibility for you.
I always like to call it a choose your own adventure, right? And I think school needs to start becoming more about just foundational knowledge for all of us to be better people. We kind of started shunning things like art and doing, you know, trade things with your hands, whether that was cooking or building cars or welding or all these different things. And these are coming back to be actually really critical skills because the knowledge economy is still based in the real world. Things still have to actually work. Your solar panels have to actually get the sun. Yeah. And we have to actually figure out how to repair them and keep that whole life cycle going. So it's going to be interesting to continue seeing this evolve.
Well, it's interesting too, is like specialization has become like a really like big thing. And I'm reading this book called Range right now. It's really cool because it talks about like not, like having a specialty is great, but there's obviously your big corporations. You walk into it, you're going to be a middle level manager. Or you're going to be an accountant, whatever. But there are a lot of business owners like me that are small business owners, right? That employ less than 50 people, right? And like, there's something very valuable about someone that can come in and wear multiple hats, right? Someone that can help me with hiring, but also is good at social media, right? It's like, that is somewhere I'm like, yes, you got two skills. Check, check. I got two for one, right? It's like, that is valuable. I love to see that. So like going into an interview and like not just talking about what you're primarily there, but also expressing those kind of like other interest skills. Like as a small business owner, that's what I'm looking for, is multifaceted individuals that can like come in with a specialty, but also can contribute in other ways.
And help them get experience. I think that's what I loved. And that's how I did it when I was younger too. I started working at a coffee shop, but the coffee shop had an office. And at the office, they trained managers and they did bookkeeping and, you know, all sorts of little tasks. But it built on my knowledge from going to business school to help me really get grounded in what does it really take to get a business to work, to do marketing. And just raise your hand, like, especially if you're working for smaller companies. And that's why I loved connecting with you is, so many people are like, oh, let me just go on LinkedIn and jump in the pool of 100, 200, you know, people that have applied for these same five jobs. There's so many other jobs out there. And I want to continue building this network for students to be able to come. We can help screen them and get them ready and push them out the door to something fun and exciting, like with your company.
That's true. Like right now, I'll tell you, like there's about probably six different positions that I am like ready to hire for. We haven't posted jobs for that. But almost, I almost guarantee you could approach almost any small business across the United States and say, hey, this is my skill set. This is my resume. I like your organization for this reason. Do you have need for someone like me or know of that? Man, if somebody sent me that, that would be huge. I'd be like, yes, I want you or no. Because a lot of my friends are business owners. That's who I like to associate with, right? And so I'm going to be like, I don't have a need for you, but my good friend does, you know, and it's like that, like networking and putting yourself out there, it can feel weird sometimes, but man, that's really helpful for a business owner. That's like, yeah, we need this and we know that we're going to be forecasting for that. So we would love to bring on, you know, we need another programmer and we need, you know, someone else in account, you know, where it's like, we know we're going to need that. We haven't posted it yet, but someone came to us, I'd be like, yeah, get them in here. Let's talk to them. And they're automatically top of the list. So even though we haven't posted it, we're probably still looking. And I think a lot of businesses right now, like most business owner that I talk to right now, feel like there is a void, right, of good staff. Like we need good people right now. Like if you are employable, you're the one in control right now. Seriously, like there is a lot of control for a good quality person who wants to jump in and really contribute.
Yeah, and really raise your hand. That's it, right? Like we're really changing the scope to the employee has the benefit. And maybe you're still in school and maybe you just want to try something, but you're trying to get some experience in a company and you don't see an internship listed or, you know, a part-time job. Just ask, like start to put yourself out there. And like you said, Corey, we all have great networks. We've been doing this for some time now, and we're happy to also share great candidates with other employers. So you never know where that path is going to lead, just like from flights,
traffic control, yeah.
Traffic control, you know, over to Seoul, you never know. And these things kind of build upon each other. So what makes you stand up and stand out to be unique from other people? Because this is always what people are looking for as well. How do I differentiate myself, you know, to get noticed for these jobs?
Yeah, you know, it sounds, again, very cliche because this is one of those catchphrase things, but being authentically like you, the most valuable thing in any organization is the people. I mean, that's what we spend the most money on as employers. And so like when you come forward as your authentic self, it is tremendously valuable. And to me, like that's where the more I myself, it seems like the more valuable I become. Like when I just don't like try to hide behind this facade, that's kind of like what I think everyone wants to hear. You know, it's like if I just like, you know, it's like this shirt, it's like, I like this shirt. And so I just wear that instead of wearing, you know, your normal white shirt and tie, you might think, but it's like, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to wear whatever I want. Like, not to say you're going to show up in basketball shorts to your job for accounting. But what I'm saying though, is like, the more authentically you show up, it really helps. And that's to me, like that's really helped me, like stand up is like, not being afraid to let me shine through. And so I really found that personally when I shifted over from working to make money with my hands as a laborer, you know, in the construction industry, to learning that I could make money with my mind and my mouth in sales. And because it really let me come through and shine and like be myself, right? Like in sales, that I get to really let my personality show. And that's where I probably wouldn't have been very happy as air traffic controller because you just say the same thing over and over again. And that's not me. You know, I probably wouldn't have been having that career. I'm not going to lie. But I love being able to be myself. And that's where I found the most value in the marketplace for myself is when I get to be myself. And I think if, you know, people also apply that, I mean, I love it when my staff come in and they're like, hey, I want to do this because I like this. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's try that, you know, or whatever. They're like, what do you think about us doing this activity as a company? Because I like to do activities and like build, you know, momentum and culture. And so I like when someone says, hey, I'm really into chess. What if we had like a chess tournament? I'm like, yeah, tomorrow at lunch, we are having a chess tournament. I'm like, that's cool. I like that. I wish more people would be like authentically bring themselves. So I like that. So I don't know, maybe it's just me, but, that's where I don't know, just being more myself. I feel like, it's more receptive for sure.
And it's so much more approachable for your employees as well. That's what a lot of people told me is that they always felt that they could come to me with any problem. I had bosses sometimes that I was terrified of, you know, that I was like, oh, if I tell them any bad news, you know, I'm fired or, you know, something bad's going to happen. And I didn't want to be that type of manager. So being authentic myself of today, I'm having a bad day. I'm upset about this thing shouldn't have happened. But here's how we're going to fix it. And here's something fun we can do to forget all those things that didn't go right and try to just enjoy a little bit of time together whenever, especially now, we can actually get together.
Liquidless laundry detergent? As you know, plastic is a huge problem. Only 9% get recycled. Even if you put your jug in a bin, 25% gets declined from cross-contamination. If plastic does get recycled, it can only be reused twice. The facts don't lie. It's time to stop using plastic. Did you know that liquid detergent is up to 90% water? EarthBreeze created dehydrated detergent. Our eco sheets easily dissolve in hot or cold water with the same powerful clean you're used to. Our packaging is biodegradable cardboard and ink. Eco-friendly options are usually expensive. Eco sheets are affordable. That way, everyone can make a difference. Laundry detergent is one of the most requested items at homeless shelters. With every package, we donate 10 loads of detergent. You get to choose who you donate to. We also donate a portion of our revenue to the planet. There is no reason not to switch. Subscribe and receive it exactly when you need it. No contracts, cancel anytime. We even offset all of our carbon emissions. This means your deliveries are carbon neutral. You can stay safe and order right from your home. Eco sheets are vegan and cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and a fragrance-free option, and sensitive to the most delicate skin. There are already thousands of five-star reviews, and we offer a satisfaction guarantee. If you have any issues, we will refund you. So why not give Eco Sheets a try? Click below or visit earthbreeze.com.
What are you waiting for? Why haven't you ordered?
Click below to try.
Well, the last big question here is, what causes in your life have affected you and how do you give back and stand up for yourself and others in those circumstances?
Yeah. You know, a big part of me is my faith. You know, there's just like, you know, I know that's it's becoming more and more of a very agnostic world. And but I grew up, as a Christian, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I served a mission for my church in Costa Rica. So I learned Spanish, and actually I just got back from a trip to Costa Rica with my wife. You know, we went, had a great time. But for me, that's like, been a huge source of inspiration is, realizing that everyone has tremendous value for who they are, like in the moment as they are. And they don't have to do anything special to be anything more valuable than what they are. And I think that really, comes from, you know, the background in which I was brought up and the faith that I developed and who that I am. And so, like I said, I really don't want to get too preachy about that. But really, like, if I was to say anything different, it really wouldn't be authentic. And that's giving me, like I said, a really strong, like, sense of being to be able to, like, go. Because, like, when I say go on a mission, what that meant was, like, for 2 years, like, first off, like, in high school, I worked and saved up $10,000 and then I paid my way to go. And, for 2 years, like, we dedicated that. And so, like, time where we literally only spent time teaching people, serving people, helping people learn English. And it was like a time where Corey didn't matter. Right. And actually for that time, you actually take on a title rather than your first name to kind of like remove you from the equation. And that was something where I really, like I said, found a purpose in that, like, I'm not the most important person, right? And the most important people are the people around me that I can serve and help and love. And that's something that is the universe. I think a lot of people realize that and think that that's not something that's unique to me or my faith, but that helped me cement that belief and that strong core value. So, you know, dedicating myself to that, you know, I have got to serve since, you know, as a, in the Boy Scouts and be able to give time for that and just look for opportunities to serve and give. I love doing that. Like I said, to me, helping other people is one of those things I get tremendous joy. I mean, if I look back at my whole time in my life, those 2 years were some of the happiest, not because I was in some paradise, which I was, but like, I was out there sweating. It's hot, you know, but it was so joyful because it wasn't about making Corey's life better. It was about helping other people. And so, brought a tremendous sense of accomplishment that, you know, it's so hard to find otherwise, because so much of our life is about building for ourselves and it's all about self-gain, and that's fine. Like, you got to make your life as good as possible. I'm all for that. But finding time since, though, to look for opportunities to serve and give of yourself has been something that I try and do through community service. And we try and incorporate that into the company with doing quarterly activities where we're just going out of the community and helping without it trying to be beneficial to the company and things like that. Like, I love doing stuff like that. It gives me tremendous joy. I love it.
That's fantastic. And I think, like you said, no matter what faith people are, I think a lot of people, again, because we've had this quiet time to reflect, we're thinking again about those communities that are important in our lives. And no matter what faith it is, it's an important thing to give you balance and give you some perspective. And people that can also help you on your career journey, your business journey. There's wonderful people there where if you're giving to the church and giving through that community, you never know how that's going to come back to you as well in ways you don't expect. But in kindness, you know, comes more kindness, which I always love.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there.
Awesome. Well, time flies when we're having fun, as always, Corey. I've loved having you on the show. I know there's lots more exciting stuff coming for you this year, so we can always have you back. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, and we'll add the details in our show notes as well.
Cool. Yeah. Probably the easiest way to connect with me is if you want to message me or connect with me on LinkedIn. Really easy to find me. You just search Corey Vanderpool, C-O-R-Y. V-A-N-D-E-R-P-O-O-L. It's really simple. That's a great place. Otherwise, you know, if you want to learn more about the company and what we're doing, if you're looking for, you know, job opportunities, we're hiring a lot of people. And as we grow, you know, we're looking for both, you know, remote and local people if you're in the Phoenix area. We have, like I said, lots of opportunity there. Our website is sparkgreenhomes.com. You know, we'd love to connect with you. I've got a solar broadcast is the name of my podcast, which Mike's podcasts aren't nearly as good as yours, Nikki. So yeah, good. It holds me to a new standard. So it's been great. But yeah, we'd love to have, obviously, you know, come join our community and help us out with what we're doing. Also on, you know, all the other social media, Facebook, Instagram, you can connect with us, you know, and contribute there and come talk to us about solar and how we can make the world a greener, better place. That'd be great.
Awesome. That's fantastic, Corey. Well, adios a todos. Este es parte de este caso. We'll see you again next week for our next episode.
Well, another awesome show in the books. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed making it. For video outtakes of the show, don't forget to catch us on TikTok. You don't stop at NikkiGreen678. The full-length shows are available on all the podcast platforms now, including Amazon Music, Stitcher, and Good Pods. The full video is available on Nikki's YouTube channel, and links to all of our social media, including info about our guests, is available in our show notes and on our website at www.greenchameleoncollective.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.